Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Bienvenido, welcome in till Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley. As always, I'm joined by your Alliance Council President, your Guerrilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins. What's going on, man?
Hello.
Not much. Just it's been a crazy. I mean, we've only had one Sounders game, but it's been a crazy week for me. Of course, last weekend, the day after the match, we had the Fan Fest.
Oh yeah.
Which also included the annual business meeting for the Seattle Sounders. A lot of stuff to talk about from that today, and then we also had Sunday was Pub League. It was the
Combine.
The combine. I had to go and see how many pull-ups I could do, how many deadlifts I could do, how far my jump went, all that kind of stuff. We can talk more about that, but that was a super fun thing to be involved with for the first time, as it's required for all
newbies.
New people. It's preferred but not required for people like you who have already gone through it. But before we get into it, I think you need some alcohol.
Yeah. So I think we were talking about this. I don't know if it was last episode or one before. Or maybe we weren't recording at all. I feel like we were talking about how Monster has an alcoholic drink now. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Is that like Four Loko? I thought that was illegal or something like that. And it's like,
yeah, so, I remember that.
So,
yeah.
So I was picking up dinner. We did a takeout tonight. And I was like, well, it's not ready. I'm going to go grab some space dust or something for the show. And then I saw the Beast, yeah, variety pack, and I would never fucking get this shit. But since we just talked about it, I figure I'll guinea pig it, and I am kind of curious.
It looks good.
It's a can. It looks like a Monster's Energy drink.
Yeah, no, the can looks awesome. It's got a big reptilian eye on it.
The Beast Unleashed Hard. 6% Mean Green is what this is called. I think, categorize as hard tea, or I feel like I
probably
saw
a hard seltzer.
Either way. All right. Fucking here it goes. I got my stubby holder. It tastes exactly like a Monster Energy drink. And I'm guessing alcohol. The Mean Green is like their basic one, since that's pretty much what their energy drink is. I don't know. It's, I hope it, oh, it's too sugary. I'm going to hate myself. All right. There's different flavors, so I'm going to try them, but I'm going to be chugging some water. I have to go my first day of work in 2 months tomorrow. My damn leave. Yeah, so I'm going to go in hungover. That's off of intense. The Beast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't have alcohol, so I'm just going to open up my customary Liquid Death. Pour some here over in my big cup. It sounds like the beginning of Gin and Juice, Snoop Dogg. But I'm just pouring it in a big old Bucky's cup from Bucky's, which is the best truck stop in the world, located throughout Texas and surrounding states.
Did you get that on your drive last year?
Yeah, year before last. Yep, sure did. But
was that the year before last? Those with the keen
ear. Yeah.
Damn, I feel like you just did. That was season one?
Yep, yep. And for those with keen ears, you probably heard me take a little drag off of my marijuana pen here, which it's actually, it's just the same as a regular cartridge, but it goes inside this special case, which then lets you have like a better pull off of it. So it's Da Vinci, just like the editing software.
I like yours. Mine is like the standard. Well,
yeah,
we're going to get fucked up on this show, everyone.
Hey, we got the beast. Because we got stuff to talk about. We got to talk about Lewis Hamilton winning the F1 race, but not when it finished. Nope, that's because the only person who decided to stop once instead of twice to change their tires was criminally under gassed up. You have to have a certain amount of gas in your car, and he didn't have it. Did you figure out what happened there? Why that happened?
The last theory I heard was at Spa, you don't go the racetrack. You don't go all the way around as your like little victory lap, because obviously you cross the finish line, but the pit entry is before the new lap begins. So when you cross the finish line, you're already past the pit entry. But because it's such a long track, and the pit exit is actually after turn one, they do turn one and immediately like slow down and turn into the exit of the pits and do everything backwards. So they drive in the pits backwards then. Mm-hmm. So normally, why is that important? When a race happens, marbles form on the outside of the track off the racing line, which is bits of rubber coming off the tires of all the cars flying around this track at 180 miles an hour, 200 miles an hour. And you can collect those onto your tires if you drive on them. It's also basically ice skates for those cars. So after a race, victory laps are usually off the racing line. People are just kind of just all cars, and it's not necessarily a victory lap, are going around collecting what could be 1.5 kilos worth of rubber onto their tires is what they're thinking. But also his tires are probably worn down more than everyone else's because they only had one set.
Yeah, they definitely were. But he was less like 1.5 kilograms of gas.
I think actually Alonso did a one stop or two, but his were three laps younger. I don't know.
Well, this isn't an F1 podcast, but worth checking out the final race before gas.
It was weight in the vehicle. Overall weight.
Oh. I just assumed that the gas would be why.
No, they have their gas.
That's crazy.
They're supposed to have X amount like of gas for testing afterwards, but it's not the gas weight. It was the overall weight of the car was 1.5 kilos lighter than it should be.
They thought Toto knew, though, because the way he responded to the gun getting 1-2, he didn't celebrate. He had a very concerned look on his face.
I think Lewis Hamilton is probably pissed that he was leading that race,
because they screwed up.
And then they impromptu went to another strategy with George Russell. Anyway, Sounders won 2-0 against the Loons, hence my Velkomintil, in our League's Cup, where we face off against Liga MX. So that was our first of our group stage. We have the Loons and the Coxa.
We play them next.
Play them next on
Grill FC protested, as did ECS. Most of ECS was not present. I think none of the leadership was present, if I remember correctly, or if I'm correct. And Grill FC put our banner upside down and put out a statement talking about how important the U.S. Open Cup is and that they should not kill the U.S. Open Cup for a cup like this. But we focus on U.S. Open Cup overall. Since we played in it, we didn't feel it was the right move to make a statement on both, because our players are there and we're going to support them no matter what. But we definitely put out a very strongly worded statement that the U.S. needs to not kill the 114-year history that the U.S. Open Cup is, just because they want a money grab for this tournament. But let me tell you, it was a fun match.
Yeah, just do both. Figure out a way to do both and don't.
Yep, that's what I've always said. Before we get to more Sounders, though, let's do a little bit of MLS, around the MLS scuttlebutt. It was just announced that they are going to have the Campeones Cup, which is the winner of Liga MX versus the winner of the MLS. And that date is, let's see, it's coming up in Columbus here in, I think, August. And this is the sixth year, I think, they've had it. They did it starting with 2018. And then for some reason, we didn't play in 2019. Atlanta did. So it wasn't about winning. But now it seems to be the teams that win it.
Hmm. Okay.
So that'd be interesting. And other than that, we had the annual business meeting at the Sounders Fan Fest, which was a fest for all Sounders fans that were season ticket holders, and super fun event, autograph sessions, picture sessions, informational sessions. There was even press conferences where little kids got to ask all the questions. So kids press conference, that was super cool. And so only kids, no adults. There was training sessions with adults, training sessions for kids, food trucks. It was pretty fun. And of course, the annual business meeting, which I emceed, I hosted. I got up and gave a talk about Alliance Council and then hosted a panel on the business side of the club with new hire Kimberly Carter, who's the new chief revenue officer, along with owner Adrian Hanauer and president Hugh Weber. And then we just had Craig, the general manager, come up and talk about, you know, what we're doing, what's going on with the moves. Of course, we went for two different moves, and they both failed, unfortunately. One was that player, remember, that we were talking about from Dinamo Zagreb, and we had three different episodes from Zagreb. So clearly he was checking out the Sounders, listening to our show, but it didn't go past that, unfortunately. Both players, it was not money that chose them not come. They decided they wanted to stay closer to home in Europe. So it wasn't like we were outbid. So unfortunately, neither of those players are coming. The window wraps up soon, so we don't know if one will come, but we've talked about it. There's not a lot of money.
What is the date?
That's a good question, because I've been so focused on the baseball one,
which is now
in the Mariners, who have made some, I would say B+, I'd give them in their moves, which I was super excited about. I think they didn't get the big bat they needed to put them over the edge to make them a for sure playoff team, but it really didn't matter. Friday, August 30th. So we have one more month, 3 p.m. Western time, Pacific Standard Time, I should say, is when it ends. So, oh no, that's the European League.
Yeah, I was like,
when's
what?
MLS, yo?
2 years or 2 months.
That
I feel like it's first,
August 14th.
Yeah, I was going to say it's the August first or 14th. Second week of August. Still a fairly long one. Okay.
Two more weeks to figure out a player. Obviously, the money's very limited available. We've been through this a bunch of times. I had, since I was on stage with them, I had Craig break it down. The only money we have available under the cap is the $600,000 we got for Arriaga. It's only half a season, so we only have $300,000 available. And any transfer fee we pay counts against that based on the number of years he plays for us. So let's say he plays 2 years, and the transfer fee is, let's say, $200,000. That means $100,000 applies to this year, so we would only be able to pay him $200,000. Obviously, transfer fees are going to be way more than that. So, you know, I think Nicholas and I talked about maybe a loan player would be a good idea, but there's just it's hard to do, right? Because we're not in the same window as the rest of the world. This is the middle of the season for us,
and it doesn't preclude them from making moves past that date. That I believe that are. In MLS, that's just the international date.
Yeah, you could do free agent and signings.
Which I don't feel like we see a lot of, but trades. So if we're going to trade.
I don't. I think those might end the same time. I don't think that's a what do you call it? A roster freeze. Mm-hmm. But I'm not 100. I think it only works at certain times. The roster freeze in 2014 is September 13th, so it's 1 month after that.
Yeah,
so they have a month where I think it's kind of like baseball, where you can put someone on waivers and then trade them after the trade deadline. But it's more like you can just make internal trades and you can bring in players that are free agents that are already registered with the league.
Yeah.
as well, which I'm sure there's some out there. But things seem to have changed a little bit on what we need, yeah. right? When we were out trying to sign those other players, we really needed a winger or a forward. And now seems like there's been enough good play from some players that maybe we don't. But I think that's a really important discussion to have, because I don't know if you and I have the same opinion on what we saw in this last mm-hmm. game. But before we get to it, one more thing. Inter Miami Stadium has been pushed back from 2025 to 2026. So that would be Messi either sticking around yeah. for another year, which is unlikely. So he won't be playing in it. They will have to, which is crazy, because they're going to have to figure out how to sell out seats in a stadium without Messi. That's a brand new stadium. He'll still be part of the club. He just won't be playing. I doubt it. We'll see.
Yeah. They'll just have to get another huge name, I guess. Sure. Right. Another butt.
Which they keep doing, right? They're seats, still, seats they're in the still butts, on that. There's still, there was another player they were just linked to that was a huge, signing. And I can't remember who that was, but it was another one that was part of like the Messi crew. Right. So, people
they would, like, coming out of retirement.
Yeah. Right. Stuff like that. Craziness. But, oh, Luka Modric might've been one.
I was actually going to say, is it Luka? Cause I feel like that, I don't know. I don't know why I thought of Luka.
Yeah. I mean, LAFC is about to sign Antoine Griezmann, which is quite frustrating that no other team is going to be able to outbid them. I don't know why. You'd think that a new team out there, San Diego, something like that, would want to have a DP that's that level of player. Mm-hmm. But, man, LAFC, the rich get richer. But, you know, that's, you're never going to be able to outspend them. You have to outsmart them. And that's where we are.
That's hopefully where we are right now. We have been playing pretty well. So, yeah, I don't have much. Unless you want to go over anything further that happened at FanFest. I mean, there's a lot more that happened other than you holding the stage. But I don't
The only other discussion was discussion of a new stadium for the Sounders. I realized we hadn't talked about this on the podcast because it was in that Athletic article we discussed, but they didn't go in depth in it. But I was able to ask Hugh Weber and Adrian Hanauer about this, and they would not make the move away from Lumen unless they felt the fans were supportive of it. So they're going to have to do a lot of research on that, because you obviously, fans like you from the North End, it's going to be a lot harder for you to get down to Renton. Nah, I mean, it's an extra 15 minutes, but when you're already driving as far as you do, that's kind of annoying. What are the benefits? What are the costs? They got to go in that and do that due diligence. See, so we don't know if it'll happen, but
in Renton,
having a place where people live that has movie theaters, stores, concert venues,
hotels,
all around there, hotels, yep. All built into a complex where the Sounders own the land and are getting the money, plus get all the parking, plus can run their own concessions. We'll see. Obviously, it would be a step down from Lumen Field in a lot of ways, but it could lead to other revenue. But they're not going to do it just for the sake of revenue. It has to be right for the team and, most importantly, for the fans. So I wouldn't expect an answer on that anytime soon. I would think that would be more of a multi-year process while they figure it out. I know the lease, I think Lumen Field lease runs out relatively soon, though. I can't remember what year, next year or the year after.
They're obviously going to renew. There's nowhere they can go in that short of time.
Yeah. but how long it is
Will be determined by
their building a new stadium. They'll get a better deal from another 20-year lease there than they would
for sure.
if they go 2 years and then plan on building
a new stadium. The same reason that, like, we were just saying the rich get richer, I am not one who just is totally against the whenever the conversation is brought up, like that they should move out of Lumen. It is totally for me. I don't know, it's because I'm born and raised in the city and Everett's literally the farthest I've ever lived from Seattle, that I would always want it to be in Seattle. Like, I just, urban, downtown, the stadium, like, whether it's that stadium or Memorial, or some, they'd have to figure it out, it would be hard. Geography kind of fucks them. But Renton would just kind of suck from a more sentimental. New stadium, I don't care about 15 minute extra drive when I'm already driving from Everett. Now I'm driving to Everett to normally Northgate and jumping on the light rail and going downtown or my hotel, which is downtown. And if I compartment.
Which changes that because you'd have to get off at the Tukwila stop and then hop on a bus.
Which I'm not going to do.
So it's. I've done it to get to the mall before. It's actually really easy. I literally walked down. The bus was waiting for me, got on it. But it's a pain. You know, that's the one problem with that area is it doesn't have direct transit. It's, you know, you've got to go a little bit. It's
transit adjacent.
I never liked the way they built the light rail down there. Anyways, it didn't make sense. They didn't go to the mall. They wanted to save money instead of putting it some of the more important places. But whatever. Yeah. So,
I'd be curious a lot of questions to find out what their thoughts are on what their research is and where potential sites are. I'm not against it, but I want them to make as much money as possible so we can sign better players.
Yeah, no, it would be. I don't think they would do it anywhere but Renton. There's no discussion about anywhere else.
Hmm.
It would be where Long Acres is, like down in that area.
Yeah,
somewhere.
I get it. It makes sense. It's just geography wise, I don't like it, and sentimentality of just being.
I mean, really,
Seattle
though,
Sounders.
It's less than 5 minutes from South Center. I know South Center is technically Tukwila, but I grew up going there. It always felt like Seattle to me. But I'm with you in general. If they're moving to Bellevue, like when they talked about moving the Sonics to Bellevue, I was like, no. Or bringing him back and them going to Bellevue, I was like, absolutely, I will not root for that team. Mainly because I'm a West Side kid and I hate the East Side. Yeah. But
Pleasantville.
Shout out to all my East Siders. I don't hate it now. I just did as a kid. It's just the Mercer Island kids who could claim East Side when they wanted to and West Side when they wanted to. Get out of here. You're Central Side.
And I was on Bainbridge.
Yeah, you were like far west.
Yeah, we were just on a boat getting high. pretty much. Or a garage.
We're both in our garages right now.
Yeah, we are. We're both getting high. And look at that.
So I think maybe we should just move on to Sounders. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, I'm ready to move on to whatever the next flavor of the beast is in my cooler. Yeah. So,
and we'll put the link for the annual business meeting in the Discord so you can watch it.
Yes, we will.
And show description. We'll do.
More. Maybe not. Maybe I'll just put it in the Discord, and now you have to go to our Discord and join to go look at it.
Because everyone should go see me talk and host.
All right, fine.
It's a special moment, and it may be my last time.
It's not macabre. Okay, grab my beer. I don't know what you would classify this. It's definitely not a seltzer. Gonna open up some Killer Sunshine. Oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It is a whole lot of orange. Okay. I'm feeling a cavity form on my teeth right now.
and the funny thing, as soon as we broke and got ready to discuss the game, we got breaking news, as Jackson Feltz tweeted me, about people being upset about the hike in Sounders prices as the renewal for next year went live. And it appears that there is a hike, and I can say there definitely was from my tickets. Now that I look at it, it seems to be a bit of a hike.
You're trying to do percentage right now?
3.8% over the last year was Seattle inflation. Looks like for some people it's gone up as much as 15%.
Whoa.
This person says theirs went up 25% or $16 per ticket. But we have no hard numbers on this. So, yeah, that's quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, Family Four, that's $64 per game.
Yeah. I mean, and but then that's how much it's going up, right? So
I know, yeah.
You're already paying a ton. $64 more
you know, for your family to go to a game.
Looking at mine, it looks like they have gone up at least that. Yeah, they've gone up 15% about. Or maybe they went up 10%.
Is there any... Well, this is like scuttlebutt aftermath, but is there any announcement? Like, did it come accompanied with words? Or is it just, you want to click buy?
Here's what we get. So the renewal emails went out today. If you're a season ticket holder, it said, Cameron, you're in for 2025. And that's because I have already, I'm automatically in every year. I have to opt out. I'm already opted in, right? The connection between players fans is the pulse of your club, and this season marks the beginning of exciting fan enhancements. Thanks to our auto-renewal program, your membership is locked in for the 25 season with no action. Your credit card and filed will be automatically put on a seven-month payment plan, so they added a month, with the first payment on Friday, August 16th, and it gives the amount, which is a crazy big amount, but it's not going to be that big because I'm dropping a ticket. If you need to cancel your membership and release your tenure, please fill out this form by this time. So basically,
it doesn't talk about why price has gone up. Which, like I said, I'm not obliged to, but...
And we already did this before. But I need to drop a ticket because that was originally Rich's tickets. But yeah, I can't afford to upfront it because it's not at the inaugural price. It's at an even more expensive price. So it is, it's an extra $6 a game, but over 18 games, that adds up to, you know, quite a bit. So
what are people saying?
People are sure.
Or is it just Jackson? Because it's brand new.
No, a lot of people, I was reading to you those live tweets that people were saying there. Let me see what, that was off of one. So currently Jeremiah O'Shan from the Sounders at Heart says, I'm currently working on a full story, but I know some stuff that had been previously rolled into pricing is now itemized. As a result, I'm hearing of increases of 10 to 30%. His tickets went up 18%. And to be clear, itemizing the bill doesn't change the reality of this price increase. If a facility fee or a county tax was previously subsidized and now it's not, the effect is the same. So possibly saying that prices actually did not go up from the Sounders' end, but the cost is being passed to us.
Yeah.
This person's went up 16%. But then they're complaining about it going from 6 to 7, although everything said that. This person is going up 24%. This person's went up 12%. So it's all about where you're at. And people, it feels like the Sounders increasingly anti-fan. They intentionally obscure the value of their product.
I feel like the increases would be all pretty similar. I guess not if there something was...
No, because they're all different, right? Depending on what section
you're in. Well,
I was
thinking the subsidies, if it was like a fee or something like that that was being passed through to the consumer, but there could be percentage fees as well. So I don't know.
Yeah, so I don't know about that. But some people, that's the thing with Sounders fans. They get a lot of – they get angry about a lot of stuff that – like they said that being able to return your ticket obscures the value of their product, which is false. In fact, it lets you get the full value when you couldn't sell them before. And they have said, and they spoke to this at the business meeting, that they never set prices below what you can sell them. Like they will always keep the prices higher so that you can sell yours and get your value for it on the aftermarket. This person's went from 956 to 1,474. I don't know how much that is, but part of that is, yes, there is a state, local, and facility tax. And that is definitely based on the amount you pay, because my tickets are more expensive than this person's. And they're paying 80 and I'm paying not quite double that. This person from 16%. So yeah, this person 25%, this person 8%. It's all over the map.
Yeah, so that 10 to 30% makes sense.
Yeah, so people are angry. You know, I think I agree with Jeremiah O'Shan that even if it's that those fees appeared elsewhere or no longer, like they're being more transparent now, it looks as if at the very least that it's gone up that much. I'd be interested to see if that's true because I don't know what my final number was per month. I only knew what my per ticket price was, you know what I mean? So maybe they haven't gone up that much, but we just think they are because it has that extra $300 per season ticket for taxes and fees or mine or whatever.
Oh, well, anyway.
Yeah, so that's wild.
Win the cup and it won't fucking matter. People will pay it. Win both cups. Win all cups.
Yeah, really?
Well, let's talk about them. The cups, that is. So we are in the League's Cup, not the U.S. Open Cup, not the MLS Cup, but the League's Cup. Beat the Loons 2-0 at home. And you were there. I was not. I was actually in Suncadia. I watched on my laptop at about 10 p.m. So how was it? I wasn't there to be there for
that
victory.
You know, it was a pretty good atmosphere. It looked pretty empty in the beginning. I think ECS was definitely...
I didn't know that when I watched the game, that they...
They were different. They had less people there, and a lot of it were people that filled in that maybe purchased tickets in the aftermarket or were given tickets. I'm not sure how, but there was a lot of people in there I noticed after the game that were not from ECS generally. Like, they aren't in those seats normally.
Yeah.
A lot of kids and stuff like that, because when I go to take down my banner, they're all down there. And I'm like, these are not the normal people that sit in these seats. But overall, a pretty good atmosphere. I'd say it looked like it was going to be bad. And then it largely filled up, probably 2/3 full, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Maybe more. I can't totally tell. But there were scattered seats in every section. There was no section that was empty, but there was a bunch of, like, every section had open seats.
It thinned out, definitely. So,
Yeah.
Which is to be expected.
And this has been an ongoing thing. Sure. Because not everyone opt in for the tickets because it isn't. Well, this game wasn't an opt in. This game, you got the ticket for free. Not for free. You paid for it. It was part of your season ticket package. So every Sounders fan had a ticket to this if you were a season ticket holder. So a lot of people just didn't come.
Yeah.
This next match will be different because it's a separate pricing structure. It's part of the pay as you go. So people had to opt out if they didn't want to be.
So they basically gave them the first ones included.
Included. Yeah. I said free at first, but yes, that's not correct. Included. So, but it was a good atmosphere there. You know, the Sounders felt like they were dominating the game like they often do. But couldn't score. But at the same time, it was really nice to see Rusnak and De La Vega working together and be able to move around the field. And you saw how dangerous they can be. It was a big step up from that previous loss against LAFC. Now, obviously, Minnesota's not LAFC, but they do play five at the back, which was part of the problem we had in that last game. Mm-hmm. So we were able to exploit that. And then, of course, Asani Dotson's red card. Which Minnesota got another red card, and then the match they played yesterday against Necaxa, where they won 1-0 despite having to play almost an entire half, I believe. I think it was like the 49th minute. I may be making that up, but of course, Dan St. Clair made 14 saves in that match, so that was a crazy match for them. So this next one, if we win, we win the group and can go into the group stage well. But yeah, fun match. It felt like we were going to score, and then finally it felt like the floodgates opened, and it easily could have been 3-0 if Rusnak doesn't get his penalty saved.
Yeah, that's true. Where are we at overall right now? So are we with Minnesota winning, are we in?
I'm not. I think only the first seed is guaranteed. I don't know if second seeds get to move on because we could lose.
Well, it's two of three advance.
Basically, we go to... But if it's goal differential, two of three are advancing? Yeah. No, because if Necaxa beats us, then we have three teams tied at three. Oh, yeah, and I don't know what the goal differential.
Which, yeah. Okay.
Oh, I mean, if they beat us 1-0, I think we advance. But if they beat us 4-0, we're out. So I wouldn't expect that, though. I would expect a win, considering the fact that Minnesota, I mean, they had to have some amazing saves, but, you know, they didn't give up a goal and they were down a man the entire second half.
Impressive. I don't know what it is about, like, keeping track of the penalty order in a shootout or the different types of formats in tournaments and who advances in the group stage. I can never fucking just... I have to, like, really sit and think about it to understand, like, where we're at in a tournament sometimes. It's like radio math. People say never do math on the radio. Yeah. It just sounds stupid. Even though it's like, I totally know what I'm talking about. I know how to count to five. Anyway. Yeah, so watching from on TV, I expected a thin crowd, but definitely not a sellout in person. Although for the fact that usually these like CONCACAF matches, if we were in them, were on a weekday, this was still on a weekend, right? And it was the match of the week. So I was kind of surprised it was similar.
That's because we don't take breaks for CONCACAF, right? In the Champions League, we don't take breaks. There's no MLS.
That's what I mean. There should be no excuse that it, like you said, everyone had a ticket. So I'm wondering what the disinterest in this match was.
I think part of it is people probably didn't know it was happening. Part of it was people saying, fuck the League's Cup.
If you have season tickets, you knew this match was happening.
Not necessarily. It wasn't on my calendar or my phone. I only knew because I'm involved, right? It didn't auto-populate on my phone. So, like, if I looked at my tickets, it's there, but I never look at my tickets until day of. So I could see people not knowing it was happening.
Do you think the Sounders are bad at marketing? Can you answer that question? Or are you allowed to? Because I feel like that's been the excuse I've heard for a lot of the reasons. Other than, you know, we've kind of been bleh in the last year and a half, 2 years. We've still been the Sounders, you know, it's still like a fighting chance and some fun football to watch sometimes. But I feel like there should be no reason that wasn't a normal. There should be no reason we're not selling out our MLS matches.
I mean, more people are coming. That's a super complicated thing. So time of match is one. Yeah. Families can't go at night. Generally, you're not bringing your kids at that time because it gets out at 9 for this match or 9:30 for every other match, including Sunday. And then if a Mariners game is getting out at the same time, you're not getting home until 10:30, depending on where you live.
No, it's strategic. I wouldn't say I wouldn't get season tickets right now with my daughter, right? I would strategically find a match that even if it was an evening to go because you know, but to regularly do that,
that
makes sense.
But that's a change from Apple TV over the last. This is the second year, and we actually saw over the first year we saw show rate go up from where it was at before that, because everyone knew what time the match was going to be on Saturday so they could build it into their schedule instead of having to constantly, you know, is it going to be at 1? Is it going to be at 12:30? Is it going to be at 4? Is it going to be at 7? Like, you never knew. 6? It could be any time on a Saturday or Sunday before. Mm-hmm. So I think we did see a overall positive response and higher show rate because of that. That's what the numbers say. I don't know if that's continued through this year. There are lots of complaints about families. So I think that's one thing is a lot of people couldn't come. Also, if they don't know what the League's Cup is or don't care, especially aren't going to make that the one game or whatever that they go to bring their family. There's a lot of people protesting the League's Cup because they view it's a money grab. You know, I think the explanation from people like the Sounders is that it's the same reason we always played our friendly against Mexican teams recently. It's that these are the teams that we need to prove that we're better than if we want our league to move up and get more money or be able to outspend them. Obviously, we'll never be able to totally outspend them, but bring in better players to our league instead of theirs. They still have way more money than us, so that's a long ways away. Although we do have the new 3 DPs, 3 U22 player rule, which you can parse out in different ways, which we talked about with Craig Weibel at the annual business meeting. So right now we have two, and we'll be able to add a third U22 next year if we want. Or we could add more if we didn't want three DPs. But
Leo Chu's a U22, right?
He is, and because he's only 24, he can apply for one more year as a U22, but they have to exercise his contract. Now, here's the thing.
That sounds like such an MLS thing. Since he's 24, yeah, he could be in the U22.
You get it, and through if they're 25, you can't. But it just means the player is U22 means if they're 22 or under when you sign them.
When you sign them is key.
Yeah. And so the nice thing about that is Leo Chu worth the money he's getting paid? No. Is he worth the cap hit of $200,000? Well, that seems clearly yes. Because U22 players only, I mean, no matter how much you pay them, and I don't think you can pay them more than $1 million, U22 players, and it may be less than that, U22 players only count $200,000 against the cap, the same way TAM or DP players count is less. So that's kind of the way they're looking at
it. So you have six potential player like roster spots that could have a high potential, high production for a low salary cost, like cap cost.
Right. Yeah, the problem for the Sounders is they're not going to be bringing in U22 players. We're not going to see another person like a Leo Chu come in because we're going to have to deal with potentially maybe Obed or Josh Atencio or RBW or Bradilio Rodriguez or name future plus Stu Hawkins, who's starting over in the U20 World Cup qualifying. Hey, we even saw an Acosta sighting. Acosta, what am I talking about? An Atencio sighting at the Olympics. He got in for USA.
I was going to bitch about this in Scuttle. I didn't. I've been watching the Olympics. However, it's on all the time, right? Everything's and I have YouTube TV. So technically, I can literally watch everything that's broadcasted on the channels that I have because it's unlimited cloud-based DVR. Anyway, horrible user experience trying to find. It's only set up, it's only organized by date, and then every match that event that happened during that date. So it's all just mushed up. Like there's no organization to it. I can't I want to watch this sport. Was this sport happening on this day? Like, I feel like there's huge potential there.
Cause they just do one. This is the,
A long list of what happened that day. And I have to go down it. And you know how much I hate fucking spoilers. Everything's just like USA defeats blah, blah, blah in jousting. I don't know. I think that's not happening in the Olympics. Jousting.
No, it did. There is, I don't know if USA is, but jousting is there. I saw.
Really?
Not jousting. Not jousting. I'm wrong. I was thinking of the sword one when it's not a real fencing. Sword. What's that called?
Fencing.
Fencing. Because I saw Snoop Dogg.
I was thinking that, but then I actually am picturing the word judo.
Okay, and so we're in the same place.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I wonder, looking at, dang it, Corbin Albert scored for the USA women. Screw that lady. I don't know if they have full games on here, but they have all the TV channels. So you can download the Paris 2024 Olympic app and schedule it so that it'll tell you when events are starting. And so then you would know, you'd be able to go back by figuring out the time shift and know when you want to watch specific
the
game.
Time
so check
shift.
That out.
That sounds...
Yeah, that's what it's called when you, like, even back in the day, there was a huge lawsuit about it for the VHS tape and then, of course, cassette tapes. But with VHS tape, they called it time shifting when you're watching something that's not at the time it comes on broadcast.
I'm a time shifter. Anyway, you were going to ask me a question about someone's performance.
What do you think of Leo Chu in the match?
I don't know. I don't know. I want so badly for him to just be flashy and score goals and get assists and win every time he goes 1v1 with some dazzling flair or something. And he almost does it, but I think he does break down a little bit. What I am loving about him is I do see a lot more effort than I think people were complaining about a year ago. I see him busting his ass. I see him pissed off that he's got hurt, that he wants, and he has to get out of the match. Like, he's pissed that he's missing the opportunity to play. I think he will greatly benefit.
Speaking of Raul's injury, let's talk about that. Put that as a point.
Yes, no, definitely. And especially with De La Vega getting more availability to play with the other players, I think Leo Chu is one of the players that's going to benefit the most from having, if there's a fit. We don't really know what the best, it's like the never-ending conversation, what's the best formation with the squad we have, unless one year someone gets injured and there's no argument. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was an okay performance. I like his effort. And he has moments where I think he's going to really do something special. He doesn't hurt as much as like Nuhu kind of hurts, I feel. He's not as much a detriment, but then I also can, I'll say that and then he completely turns the ball over. So I don't know. He doesn't piss me off. And I like the minutes he's getting right now. Because
I think he's not an offensive black hole like Nuhu. You know, when Nuhu goes forward,
that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, exactly.
There are dangerous events happening when he pulls forward. I don't say we always score, but you know, it really bugged me because Leo had a few breakaways there that feel like, if not that he necessarily should have scored, but he should have been more dangerous with them. Mm-hmm. He should have made the keeper try and save. He just, like, he's wide open. He's running at the goal, and he should have had a one-on-one with the keeper, and he just doesn't get it. It was frustrating. But at the same, people were praising him because he was getting in the right places. Mm-hmm. He just wasn't good with the on the shooting end. And, you know, maybe now, I mean, we want everyone to be the best, right? And maybe it was hype was the reason why we were so down on him. But if you're thinking about his cap hit, I think he's more than met that. Of course, there's going to be big questions. Do you bring him back? Do you bring Rusnak back?
Yeah.
Which I don't know why you don't. He's clearly the best Sounders player right now. But Rui Diaz, horrible. I mean, he was at the event the next day, limping a little, but he was there. So he's going. But man, the first foul was bad enough, but then to come through with his second leg and totally, like, luckily his knee went forward.
Yeah.
And not, if his knee had locked the other way, his career potentially is over.
I know. That was a shiver me timbers replay. Because as it happened live, it looked bad, like reckless.
Yeah.
It didn't look structurally as bad because it looked more like come from behind and just kind of collapse down, like straight down.
His knee, yeah.
It didn't look like
Rui Diaz's knee was able to move forward.
Exactly,
once it got
right?
It wasn't,
but there was still
moving a weird, like when Fry got hurt, you knew his knee moved in a weird direction.
Exactly. Also, when you see it in slow mo, I'm picturing the worst than actually what happened, right? Oof. I'm expecting, man, if his knee wasn't going able to go forwards like that, I'm already seeing what's happening in my head. And I hate ish, kish, bagish. I hate it. I never like watching that stuff. The one replay I saw of Zach Iwani's and the subsequent afterwards ones, I've never seen. Just the first one to see how bad it was, and I didn't want to. But I can't find the stomach to watch injuries like that. So anyway, I'm glad it wasn't that. A stupid foul. I thought, man, what do you think of Minnesota's their style of play in that game?
I mean, they're five at the back. You gotta have some amazing play to beat us. Pushing up from the back, right? They're very defensive. They don't have the players that LAFC has, like Bwanga, that can make wonder goals, or Bogus. What would you call him? Bagosh?
Yeah, Bagosh. Kush Bagosh.
So, I mean, I think it's harder for them to be successful. And they were early on, but I think people kind of figured them out because they were top four for a long time, but now they're behind.
They're kind of like a nice version, the nice cousin of SKC. Like their color scheme and everything like that. Like they seem like a very blue-collar club.
I mean, they're still fouling. But...
That's what I mean. Yeah, they're not flashy.
They're not dirty. Despite the red card, Hassani Dawson's a local guy. Like, he was not going in.
And he didn't complain about it. He walked right off. But yeah, that's ugh.
But then they got a red card for another. He took him down from behind, but I really think it was Dogso was why they got a red card in the next game against Necaxa. So, definitely worth watching those highlights just to see what Necaxa looked at. Their jerseys were kind of, they're red, white, and green, like Italian flag.
Boppity boopy. Like
red on one side, white in the middle, green in the middle. So yeah, it was pretty interesting to watch them play. Jordan Morris with a goal and an assist, and Paul Rothrock with an assist and a goal.
Has to be the front runner in the MVP conversation, Paul Rothrock. I mean, shit, dude. I mean, he's showing up fucking match.
If it was actual value to the team, I would agree, but that's never what it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's always the best player.
Yeah.
We don't actually have the most valuable player. We have the best player.
Yeah. Well, what does he have, like, what's his, he's got like 900 minutes and is it 4 goals, 2 assists?
Something like that. I'd have to look at the actual stats, but I'll pull them up here. He went to Lakeside, local boy, 25 years old, kind of was lingering down there in S2/Defiance. Did get signed to a first team deal, but really didn't do much with it. And then finally, now we're seeing him be able to take off where career he has 1,000 minutes for his entire career. That includes Leagues Cup, MLS, US Open Cup, and MLS Next Pro, which he only played 2 matches down there. 5 goals, 3 assists. So he has 4 goals and 3 assists throughout because he has 2-2 in the MLS and 1-1. But, of course, one of those goals was last year. So, real spark plug. You can tell it's a difference maker when he's on the field. Last week I was really adamant about that. Like, I would want him on the field when we were talking about who's the best. I think that's him. There was one. I can't remember if it was him or not. That might have been.
He did something juicy.
That wasn't, it was from behind, so I don't know if that counts. He did. He passed it one side and ran around the other side and got the
ball. No, I'm not talking about that one. He did. He was faced up on the sideline, and he stepped over the ball with his left foot, and then with the inside of his trailing right leg, and the ball still behind his left foot, he hit the ball, passed it, I think, to himself as a nutmeg through the player, the defender, mm-hmm. and kept running.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, okay. The far side of the field. Yeah, I mean, but it was essentially, he was passing it around him. It just went through his legs.
Yeah, but it was just juicy the way he stepped over it and hit it with the trail leg.
Yeah, the whole stadium nuts. It was wild. And you saw Jordan do that a few times where he's been able to use his back foot to push the ball forward. And they've clearly been.
No, he's just only using his right foot, and it happened to be the back foot.
Yeah. He scored with his left
foot. I know. I know, but like, when you're like, oh, left foot, he uses his right foot a lot.
Right. And that's usually what when his right foot's his back foot, he can push it forward and become his front
foot. The way he actually is pigeon-toed, it kind of just looks like sometimes he has 2 right feet when he's walking. It's just lumbering along. Sure.
Anyway. But yeah, I mean, both late goals, of course, clear penalty, no goal there, but I don't know if we get the third goal if we get that penalty there, because I'm not sure if we are continuing to push forward once we go up 2-0 with minutes left in the game.
Yeah, you can never really this would have happened or this would have happened, because butterfly effect.
Right. But I think at that point, there's no chance that they can come back from 2 goals left with, like, it was literally like a minute left when that happened.
But we scored both goals. I mean, exciting. At the end of the match.
They're both exciting. They're a little late, but
I think we should have, especially with 25, 30 minutes of being up a player. I don't know. I'm not mad about the performance. I give them a, what'd you give what grade did you give earlier to something? B+.
I gave B+ to the Mariners. I'd give a B+ to the Sounders in this.
Yeah. I think they're definitely the the excitement of these matches is great, but I'm still wanting to see some consistent dominance. And maybe not dominance, but you know what I mean? Just consistent, like, we're playing our game. This is our game. You have to beat us. And I know we're capable of that. And I know I'm not really impatient about that because of, you know, we've been conversing about this entire season and how mad it's been, maddening at times, and the reasons why, injury and availability and whatnot. So,
what if I told you, since he made his first appearance this year, no, he had a few other appearances. So we'll move forward. He had like two a month, but since Rothrock, since June 15th. So when we started going on the winning run there, where we didn't lose for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 straight games. Since we went on that run, and we're going to include, so this is 8, 9 games now, because it's LAFC plus the one we just played. He has 3 goals, 3 assists, and the Sounders haven't lost a single game where he appears. He did not play
where he appears. In LAFC games. He just floats down from the heavens. I have been subbed on. I mean, he's not always starting.
He played 21 minutes in one, 45 in one. But in the others, 83, 90, 61, 86, 90. So when he plays, we win or we tie. We tied Houston. But we have not lost a game where he plays since we have to go all the way back to May 15th was the last time that he played and we lost.
So he is human.
In fact, So if you go back to April 30th, so we'll ignore his first 3 starts where we lost, we've only lost 2 matches when he plays.
So if you ignore the 3 losses, we've only lost 2 of them.
No, because we were terrible. I mean, really, remember when we turned it around was...
We've turned it around.
May 25th. May 25th was when we turned it around. You could go the Vancouver tie, but that felt rough. So St. Louis game where we beat them 2-1 at St. Louis, I feel like was the beginning of that run where we only had 1 loss in 8, 9, 10 games.
Is that RSL?
No, KC. RSL was KC. Right before it. And then LAFC, of course, on the other side. But since we've gone on those runs and we've been really good, he's been involved sometimes only 3 minutes, sometimes only 1 minute. But in that next month, June 15th on, when he's involved, we win. He just brings a different energy to the field.
When we were talking about like Rui Diaz as super sub and last season, Nico Ladero like super sub, I think, I don't know, maybe we have talked about Rothrock as a super sub so far this year, but I think...
You mentioned it, yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to mention it again. I think it's...
I disagreed with you, though, because we've seen him start more games than not, and we win those games. That's why I think he needs to be starting.
Yeah, but, I mean, against Minnesota... didn't they do the exact same thing? Like he subs on and then Morris scores and then
he scores. He did. He subbed on. But I'd like to see him out there from the beginning because maybe we could have scored right away. But we started Alex. And Christian moved around in that game a lot. A lot of our players moved around. It was a different kind of game. But
Christian's
definitely
been playing that right side triangle for the whole season. Wide mid.
But he was straight up center defensive mid for portions of this game, too. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But I'm guessing we start roughly the same lineup, with the exception of maybe dropping Christian to right back and starting a Rothrock.
Yeah, so what's has there been weeks or anything given to Raul? I'm just curious. Not that I think he's...
Not that I know of. I don't think... I think they would talk about it tomorrow. Okay. So, no, I would.
Tomorrow being Thursday as we record this. Okay.
Yeah. Official injury report. So, I have not heard anything. And I have not been paying attention to if Brian said something about it.
I'm going to pay attention to this gnarly grape I'm about to open.
So, yeah, it looks like yesterday, Jeremiah Oshan reported that it looks like he's going to miss at least 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. So he's it's kind of a bummer that he's coming from. It's been 6 years. I don't know why I looked at the date to do the math for how long it's been since we signed him, but he came from MX's and can't play against him. But
you know what's interesting? I'm just reading this, and I heard this earlier today. Because the rules are so weird, it was like even if a team won, they weren't going to host, but if they lost, they could host a game. It was very strange, but because of the quirks, unless Minnesota United beats Necaxa by multiple goals, which they didn't, the Sounders' place in the League's Cup round of 32 will be secured before they play their group stage finale. So seeding's on the line, depending on if we'll be higher seeded or not. And Cody Baker's out for the next 3 weeks, but with a wrist surgery. But so we are already through to the round of 32, but hopefully we can beat Necaxa and put ourselves in a better position to host and or be a better seed to play a worse team.
Okay.
U.S. has been dominating the tournament, which is interesting because for CONCACAF Champions League, they're in mid-season form and we're in preseason form. This is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So we're actually seeing the U.S. Let's look at all the matches.
Who won it last year?
Austin beat Pumas. What's that?
Who won it last year? Is it Miami?
Oh, I don't think so. Yeah. I think it was
Miami.
I think LA. No, they won. Didn't they? They got to the. Oh, yeah. Maybe they did. Yeah.
Because that's when Messi was introduced into.
Yeah, a couple games before the end.
Yeah. Well, he had the big free kick and everything. And that was League's Cup.
So, day one, Austin beat Pumas. LAFC beat Club Tijuana. Inter Miami beat Puebla. Atlas did beat Houston. New England beat Mazatlan. San Jose beat Chivas Guadalajara on penalty kicks. And New York City beat Querétaro on penalty kicks. And Portland beat León. So that's a pretty decisive beating. Match day two, Montreal beat San Luis. Red Bulls lost to Pachuca on penalty kicks. Austin beat Monterrey. That's huge. Minnesota beat Necaxa. Vancouver beat LAFC on penalty kicks. Interesting. I didn't even pay attention to day two except for that one. Charlotte beat Cruz Azul on penalty kicks. DC United destroyed Santos Laguna.
Wow.
Juarez did beat FC Dallas. Mazatlan beat Nashville.
So is that four?
So
is that four Ameki's victories? Four or five? It's definitely at least four.
Three. Yeah, four. Four for the first 2 days.
Wow.
There's still a couple more. Chicago plays Toluca. But, I mean, you would expect them to win more often. The USA is dominated. Or MLS, I should say, because we have Mexican teams. Because there was one win for them on the first day, and then one, two, three wins on the second day. So that's four total with tomorrow. We have one, two, three more matchups with an MLS team versus American team in this instance versus Mexican team. And then, of course, all over again, there'll be a bunch more.
You mean MLS because we have Canadian teams.
Canadian teams, yeah. But the ones I'm looking at tomorrow are all American. It's Cincinnati, Salt Lake, Chicago, and Portland.
Shit.
And, well, Portland plays Colorado. But, yeah, so then of the final one will be interesting. So
it'll be like MLS. There'll be potentially
it might be
one mostly or all MLS. Teams. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
It totally could be. It depends on what the tables are at and what happens the last day, but that would be pretty funny.
They'd be pissed though.
I mean, Austin's leading group A, LA Galaxy is leading group B with Guadalajara on the last. Juarez is tied for the leading group C. Toluca hasn't played yet in D. León is last in E. Necaxa is last in F.
So
Tijuana's last in G.
So like
Atlas is the head of there. So yeah, it's like in most of these groups, there's a couple where right now the number one seed would go through to. There's three where the number one seed could go to a Mexican team, but otherwise. It would be an MLS team that would go through as the top seed from each group.
That would make MLS look good, I guess. But also, I think both parties would be pretty pissed because you'd have a large population just not watching the rest of the tournament.
sure. When the final, I mean, when the final ends up being
Portland and Kansas City,
Seattle versus Charlotte, we'll be into it, but no one else is going to care.
Yeah.
Whereas if, well, Chivas, I mean, they could still go through because they had a draw against San Jose, but if they can beat LA Galaxy and go through. Sure. They lost their one game so far.
I want to see them again.
They lost
Cobra Kai.
3-2 to Austin.
See, that'd be fun. That'd be good marketing. Seattle and Pumas.
We'll see. Yeah. So, predictions. What do you think? What do you think is the final score going to be? Knowing nothing about this team at all.
Yeah. I think this will be a fight. I think this will be fun. I think this will be a fun match to watch.
They're currently 11th. There's only been four games played, right? But they're currently 11th in the Liga MX standings with one win, one draw, and two losses. Five goals for, four against.
Assuming their roster is not completely different.
Great question.
Thank you, Cameron. That was nice of you.
Yeah, it looks like last year, that's their kit sponsor. That's not helpful.
All of it's their kit sponsor. Their whole kit is a sponsor.
Yeah, right. Last year, I know they lost both matches in League's Cup, 4-1 and 3-0 to FC Dallas and Charlotte, opposite way around. But so they were not very good last year in the in that. Looks like they had a leading – they had the leading score in the Clausura, which is – I don't know the difference between the Apertura and Clausura. They play like two seasons in Mexico, right? Yep. And then the winners of each play against each other in the playoffs. But they had the leading score with 8 goals in the Clausura last year. I don't know what they finished.
Well, though. I mean, I don't know. I 2 goals. Just score. Nice. Just score 2 goals. That's what I want, and that's what I expect. I feel like.
So you want a 2-0 win?
Preferably, yes. I think. Cool. I just don't. I'm not a fan of predicting this team anymore this season. I think it's more like this is the type of performance I want to see. Because that's what I want to be consistent with. I want an identity. I want some production. So that's just give me 2 goals. And if we can hold firm and dominate the match, then it's a shutout. And that's fantastic. But, I want to know who this team is entering the, 5 or 6 game sprint to the finish for seeding for the playoffs, because we're in it right now. So let's go in strong, let's go in confident, and use this League's Cup tournament to iron our blades, so to speak.
Because last year in the Clausura, which is the first half of the season. The Apertura, which is the first half.
So the Clausura is the classier half.
That's the second half. They finished 18th out of 18, winning only 3 matches with a -9 goal differential. And then in the second one, though, they actually made the playoffs, which is probably how they qualified for this, where they finished, I think it was 9th? Out of 10. And then they do a coefficient table that kind of tells you how they do overall. But because they were so bad, they're combined as 15th. So they didn't get relegated. Or you don't get relegated. You pay a fine. Wow. Those are big fines. Tijuana got last place, 18th, and had to pay an $80 million Mexican peso fine.
That doesn't seem like that helps them get better. Like, what the fuck?
Well, I guess because there's no relegation. So
they
finished 11th in combined because they were so good in the second half. So even though they were 18th in one and 9th in the other, they finished 11th.
Did they drag them through the
streets? So they're middle of the table-ish, bottom half, we'll say. You know, there are only a few points separates them from 15th or 14th place.
Well, then I stick with my prediction. It will be a fun match for us. I feel like we're onto something. Like an F1, they're just kind of like, okay, that seemed to work. Balance is there.
Yeah.
Felt good on that turn. Okay, I think we're onto something here. And I'm excited to see a week's rest and De La Vega start. And I would like a similar cast around him as this last. I think you said that. I think you think it'll be the same lineup or something very similar, but with Rothrock starting and Christian
Anderson. Yeah, and I think Andy will continue to start at keeper.
Yeah, I think this is his tournament, right? That'd be unfair to...
I think if they made it to the... As they make it further, they might give
it to I don't know. He played fucking really... I am...
I know, he played well. He did. But I think... I just don't know what you do. Same with the U.S. Open Cup. You make it to the final. How do you not start?
I think if he keeps playing the way he's playing, I'd be hard-pressed to have Stephen Fry start again. No lie. The athletic ability that Andrew Thomas has shown as keeper has been impressive.
We talked about it. He was a world-class cricketer.
Well,
you know what? We're over an hour, and you have to work in the morning.
Oh my god!
So maybe we
should. I totally forgot, dude. Oh no!
We recorded earlier than we usually do. So,
yes,
I guess we didn't record much earlier, but enough that you have a little extra time. But yeah. I'm saying 3-1. You're saying 2-0. We're both saying go Sounders. Where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me on X at Aaron Lingley, AaronLingley. And where can they find you?
You can find me at Legal Minded Punk, anywhere you have internets.
Internets and socials. All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap this up. Let's bring it into port, everyone. Thank you for listening. Please rate and subscribe. Do all the things.
That's really important. Rating is so important because it helps get us on lists and helps us move up the standings. You know, we're a pretty solid Sounders podcast. We want to keep going. I think by the numbers, we are the third highest
rating of all time.
Let's keep going. Yeah. So let's just keep going and keep telling your friends about us. Thank you. It's been an honor to be able to talk at you.
At you. Sometimes it feels that way. Definitely appreciate all the listens. And if you want to support the show, link in the show description, we have our Patreon there just to literally to help support it, just to help. We do this out of our own pocket. And
$1.74.
I'm in my garage. We are never doing YouTube. That is never not going to happen.
I said me too, not YouTube. But we should.
I just kind of saw our future as our listeners jump on the Patreon right now. And I was like, oh, maybe you should show them video. No, I'm in my garage.
Yeah.
And I need a lot more
Patreon. It doesn't matter. Go watch some of those Mariners ones that get tons of download or views on YouTube.
I want to see if we had any new reviews real quick. No.
Possible. Nothing new. I kind of doubt it. That's all right.
Still Ricky Rocket the second. Just May 11th. Thanks, Ricky Rocket the second. Anyway, yeah, really appreciate it. Join our Discord as well. That's normally we had some Sounders adjacent stuff to do right before we recorded the show, but I totally forgot to because I was thinking of that. Tell our Discord members that we are recording tonight because usually our scuttlebutt is filled with their.
But you know what? After you hear this episode, just go and make suggestions now, or while you're watching the game.
There's a mailbag. There's a mailbag thread in our Discord. Channel/server, whatever we call it. Yeah, drop it in the mailbag.
We'll be recording next week, so we'll do it then.
Yeah, and the match is on Sunday, I believe, right? Not Saturday.
It is. Sunday at 7:30 p.m.
Right on. All right, we better look at we're going to run into the beach because we're pulling into port way too fast. James, take us away.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents, or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.